Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go! 1-3! 1-2-3!
You're listening to the best of the Dolphins.
Love y'all, boys, man. Keep hands on 2-1-2.
A weekly mix of AM 560 Sports, WQAM's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
All right, far as the football stuff goes, the Dolphins are off today because it was a Monday night game. They worked yesterday. And so just going forward, listen, this is the group. There's not going to be a lot of changes. Keep playing those rookies. It's the right thing to do. Some of them hit the wall a little bit, which is expected. As long as they don't lose their confidence, and it doesn't look like they have, give them a chance to play them a lot, rotate the other guys in there. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying play them every snap and keep going, but we are playing a lot of rookies, and we got to get some of the guys that, you know, we got into this thing yesterday about what's been the biggest disappointment through three games for you, the offense or defense. Numbers are bad on both sides of the ball right now. Through three games, the numbers are not bad. I think we thought the defense was going to be up there after last year, what Anthony Weaver was able to do, and they've struggled to stop the run. Let's just start with that. That's been a big one. And because of that, the sack numbers, because they're able to control first and second down so well, third down, there has not been a lot of third and longs to tee off and go after guys when you have a chance to get takeaways and interceptions and tip passes and strip the quarterback and all those type of things. So the team is sitting here with zero takeaways through three games. For me, it's not the biggest disappointment. It's the offense. There is a lot of talented skill position guys on this team that other teams would love to have. We still have one of the fastest offenses in football. We don't play that way right now, but we have a super fast offense. Still have an outstanding chance to win the relay. If we had one, the make-believe NFL relay, we would have a shot. But it's not producing, and everybody's got a little different take on what has been the problem. Now, Darren Waller's going to be back. They're going to have, looks like, unless he gets hurt the next few days, he's going to be back in the lineup for the first time after missing last two camps, coming back now, and we'll see what he has at 33 years old and what he can do and add to the offense and get the running game going. Hey, you know, they run the ball really well. We just don't run it a lot. It's crazy. So one thing about this offense, when we do run the ball, now they can say, well, we're behind by so much, so we don't run it as much as we'd like. Least amount of carries in the NFL, by far, on what they've done here through the first three games. But they've had 52 carries, by the way. But they're averaging 5.2 yards per carry. So hopefully this week would be a great one to get it done. Get that running game going. Run it. Time of possession. Get some, you know, just keep the defense on the sideline. They don't have to play as much. And then still throw in your passing game. I get it. You spend a lot of money on the two guys on the outside. We always talk about that. Figure a way to get them the football. By the way, I'm done with that, you know, the stuff down the field. I'm done. I've said it so much. I think even my wife called me out. It was so bad. I know she didn't even know what she's talking about. She goes, will you stop talking about those guys catching the ball down the field? Yeah. All right, you're right. I had to tell her, you're right. But just go to the short passing game. Whatever throw Tua feels comfortable with. What we've done a lot this year, and that is a lot of completions on shorter stuff. Go with that. If you get a shot from time to time and you can hit one of those deep passes and you got time, you have it all set up, go for it. If it's a matchup you like. But so far, I still believe quarterback's got to play better. And a lot of people, and it pisses me off, make excuses for him. No more excuses. There's no excuses. He got the new contract. He's happy. Got his money. He's set for life. That's done. So now you can focus. But he has to play better. He has to play better. Don't want to hear about a breakdown at the guard. Don't want to hear about a breakdown here. Don't want to hear about backups playing on the O-line. Don't want to hear about Tyreek. Don't blame Tyreek for everything. You're having a bad day. Tua's having a bad day. It's Tyreek Hill's fault. I don't want to hear any of that stuff, man. I just want you to grab one of those mirrors and every so often have it look at you. Have the Tua mirror. Just looks right at you when you look at it. It'll tell you the truth every time. You got to play better. You've got to play better. That's it. And maybe he can. Maybe there's more stuff to come. And I get the team's going to positive spin everything to death because that's what they should do. That's what they should do. No panic here. We've only lost three. We got 14 games. We got a lot of the season left. That's it. But if you don't think that this game isn't huge again, you got to learn how to win. You got to win. You got to win this game. And the Jets, they got all kinds of problems. They got, by the way, all the stuff being asked down here and being and talked about is the same stuff they're dealing with up there. About not knowing how to win, sloppy, all those things. The coach got to come out there playing hard. You know, it's not that. They're missing tackles. You know, all the things. All the things. I'm guessing every team that's 0-3 is dealing with a lot of the same questions, right? A lot of the same questions pop up, you know. I don't think anybody's quitting on Mike. I don't. I don't think anybody's quitting on Mike. I thought Mike called a really good game last week. I did. I like the game plan. I like it even more knowing that I know and he knows what his quarterback can do. I like it even more. So he's just got to figure and continue to figure along with his coaches on that offensive side of the ball, besides getting Devon Achane a lot of touches, which I get. He's special. He's a special player. I know a lot of you are tired of those swing passes. Raise your hand out there if you're getting a little tired of all those swing passes and quick screen set up to the outside.
Yeah, the ones that go for losses
well,
every time. Yeah,
he did get blown up on one.
No, those are awesome.
Now, the one, if a guy misses a block, they can look real bad. Yeah, or if somebody's, you know, taking an early run out there to get out there. Yeah, they can be. But he called a lot of good plays. You know, you look back now, hey, maybe we should have tried to run a little bit. You always second guess, you know, coach's game plans and stuff. But I thought it was a good one. I thought Mike's game plan was really good. I do.
Yeah, well, you know what? They had one couple extra days to prepare for the Jets, at least. Right? You had a Thursday night game, so you got the whole weekend. Yeah, another weekend here coming up. You got a long time to prepare for this game, man.
And the other thing is, besides all the coach talk, there's a lot of guys on that team. I don't know how to, like, hey, got to ask you a question, man, because the game's really about one-on-ones. It really is when you break it down. It's about one-on-ones. How are you playing, man? We believe, you know, you're starting for a – how are you playing? Are you getting as many pressures as you want? Are you making as many plays in the secondary as you can? Are you blocking as well as you can? All those things pop up when you start 0-3, or you lose 3 anytime during the season. You got to start looking at, you know, did I quit on a play? Did I take a play off? All those kind of things. Could I have made that play? Did I make the right cut? And then on top of that, we got a franchise quarterback, Pay, not playing like a franchise quarterback. Never gets a hall pass with me. Never. Done. Over.
Do you agree that this is the last game for, I mean, if this thing goes poorly?
What?
That we got to start making changes?
You're talking about quarterback.
I'm talking about all over the place.
I don't think they make any changes, no matter what happens in this game. I don't think they make you're talking about basically.
I got to tell you, by the way, I keep getting it from everyone right now. Everyone's got a different take on this. I think, you know, it'll be this game, that game, you know, when the changes are going to be, they're definitely coming. But
if it's true what the owner has said, that I'm going to evaluate everything, guys playing hard, staying competitive, start winning some games. He won't make a decision this quickly. This is my opinion.
I know, but it's a carryover from last year, though, isn't it, too? Like,
I'm guessing. I think he really personally likes Chris a lot. Likes Mike. And the Tua thing is tied to Mike.
You think they told him this thing was going to be better this year than it was last year? Like, 100%. What the hell did they tell him?
You think anybody went in after the amount of money they spent 12 months before? Do you think anybody went in and called them?
No idea.
You think they called Tom Garfinkel, said, hey, meet my office, coach, GM. Mr. Ross is coming down from Palm Beach. We're going to meet in my office. Okay, guys. We don't have a lot of money because we blew it out last year on all those guys, including a couple guys we got rid of. But hey, so can you imagine that meeting? Now, that meeting took place. That meeting definitely took place. So, guys, how do we stand? How do we feel about this team? Well, we feel pretty good. We got a lot of key guys. We feel like we can still make a big run here in this season.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way. There is no way in hell that you could spend the amount of money they spent the year before that those guys would not tell Tom Garfinkel and Stephen Ross that this team wasn't good. There's no way they would have said, Mr. Ross.
I don't know, man.
No.
As nice as these guys may be, these guys must be all-time fertilizer salesmen.
I'm telling you right now, they go, all right, how do we look? How do you feel about this team? How do we look? You know, 8-9 is not acceptable from last year. All right, how do we look? Well, and I'm sure all the stuff came up. Backup quarterback if he goes down again. All that stuff was talked about in this meeting. 100%. And those guys, can you imagine? I'll let you answer that. You think any of them said, well, Mr. Ross, I don't know how to tell you this. You're a good guy, man. We like you a lot. God, you're a good guy. We don't think we got some holes in our team. We got some big holes we're concerned about. They didn't do that. He's going to go, we have what? After all the money I spent, the money we spent up front, Brandon Shore told me the amount of money on these contracts we had to spend. And you're telling me less than a year later, after I got rid of, I signed off on get rid of Jalen Ramsey because he's a pain in the ass. He's a chemistry killer. He's toxic.
Texter 954 says, I'll keep it 100. If we lose to the Jets and two is a two interception game. And looks like crap. We need this should be his last game as a QB for us ever again. It's time to remove him, Mike and Greer. Tua went from sucking against good teams and beating great teams to now struggling against everyone.
I'm telling you right now, if he does throw two interceptions in this game, he will be the starter going on Sunday to Carolina. I'm just telling you.
Okay.
Hopefully they win the game so we don't have this conversation, yeah, this sure. What if. You don't think they'll win?
I think
I'm asking. Do you think they'll win?
I mean,
do you think 60, they'll
40?
Win?
40, I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, you want to sit there with, well, you will, but.
What?
You sit there with, like, conviction that they're going to win this game?
No. I think they have
a good chance to win. Because the follow-up would be why?
Because the other team they're playing has got their own demons, too.
Okay.
Coming down here, yes.
Gotcha. And you think they're going to parlay the game against the Bills? They played better in that game. And you think they got some sort of momentum going? So that's what you're kind of basing this on?
Yes. That would be the two things, yes.
Okay. That's fair.
I mean, I'm not.
That's fair.
But again, do I think they're going to win by 30 this week? No. Do I think all of a sudden.
I win by 30.
So anyway, hey, listen, I mean, we don't know who's going to start a quarterback for them yet. I mean, they really. Trying to figure out if Justin Fields. I hope Justin Fields plays.
Again. Why is that?
I don't think he throws
want their best? Well, he's better than the other guy, isn't he?
I don't know. I don't know about throwing it. I don't know. The other guy's been around for 100 years, though. Jesus, he was around with Matt Moore was playing years ago. What's that? Hey, man, we got to go to break here. We are running super, super late here. We've got a lot of stuff coming up here to get to this morning. I want to take a second. Hey, you know what? I'm so late. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Mom, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's crazy. So like you couldn't eat once that, like how long before when your jaw was better that you were allowed to talk, Leroy?
Talk
or eat,
oh, no,
eat
I
properly.
Was talking right
eat
away.
Properly.
I was talking right away. I would say so I never ate a real meal for 2 months.
Jeez.
At least.
It was right? Just too painful?
No, you didn't have the
You don't have the range of motion.
You didn't have the strength to chew.
You don't go in it like full anaconda.
So no, you didn't have the strength to chew. Like you hadn't opened your mouth. You only opened your mouth at like 2 centimeters, right? And that's only you only could start opening your mouth. Like usually they like after the first couple of weeks when the swelling went down,
mm-hmm.
they came and tightened everything.
Thanks to Landon Quinones for stopping by. We didn't get to. Because he's a South Florida guy who's already like, he's like, oh, this Tua. He's also this Tua.
He wants to punch Tua?
He wants Quinn Ewers. He's like, he wants to kick the tires on Quinn Ewers.
You know what? Can I just say, this is the thing that probably upsets me more about fans than anything. Like, you say, I don't like this guy or I want a different guy. But your solutions are let's just kick the tires on a guy.
See what he's
got? That's not a real solution.
It's not a solution.
You see what I mean? And that's the part that I get confused by is that everybody says I want something different. I want a different guy. I want this or this. But your answers are not solutions.
Okay. You're right, Leroy. Look, ladies and gentlemen, we all know Leroy knows more football than all of us.
True.
That's absolutely.
I'll allow it.
No, it's not even allowed. It's a fact. We're not going to do this to my guy, okay? But, Leroy, here's how the fans look. You know, it's like a shooting star. If you see it once, you think it can happen again.
Right.
So they see Brock Purdy.
Mm-hmm.
They see Brock Purdy. They see what Brock Purdy did. They think Quinn Ewers could do Brock Purdy things, especially under the same type of offense.
Right.
That's it. That's it.
I understand that, but people in this business don't get paid a ton of money making decisions on let's kick the tires
kick
on
the tires.
Right. And that's just well, like even a coach will tell you
mm-hmm.
every coach and every time you talk to a coach, I'm not gonna just put a guy out there and hope it works out.
Right.
I'm in this position that if I put a guy in there, I need to know what I'm gonna get. And that's like where you are.
It's also one of these things too, like it is the politics of it, of that Quinn Ewers is a 7th round pick and like the Giants with Jackson Dart, it's like, hey, invested a 1st round pick in them. These guys are already on the hot seat. They're gonna see what he's got because they don't have a future with Russell Wilson either way.
Well, and right, different situation though. Like they can bring their young quarterback in because they brought in 2 guys to just see how long they could
little stopgap.
Right, exactly.
Little stopgap.
Exactly.
It's also going to be an interesting thing with Mike, right? Because Mike is, you know, he is a people-pleasing coach. Like, he has a relationship, and there's no relationship he's more synonymous with than Tua's. Like, I can't – Tua would have to – he'd have to, like, 3 interception at 2 more games in a row for it to even be a thing he thinks about.
Right, but I'm just thinking – I'm just – out of curiosity – what do people think is going to happen if Quinn Ewers goes into a game? Like, and you can't, like, the answer can't be, let's just see what he has. No, that's not an answer. That's not an answer. And for people, I think that's the part that gets me more than anything is that every time I get upset at a conversation we have, or that I have with fans,
mm-hmm.
right? The conversation is never about whether you want this guy or don't want this guy. The question with me is, what is your solution? Because, you know, you could make a change and your team could be worse. Then what?
Well, I mean, in the Dolphins' case, there's a point where it really can't get worse. Like that was Mike.
Correct.
That was Mike McDaniel's argument a couple of weeks ago, where he was like, "What's the good side? It can't get worse." And
correct.
We're like, "Hold my beer." Like, give me,
right.
You know, a couple. You lose to the Jets and you lose to the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
If he's still here, it right. can get worse. It can get worse. Now they right. did play better. Obviously, hard to play worse than they did week 1.
Of course.
You know, but yeah, I think. I mean, like, if people don't think that the money they invested in Tua is not a factor, like, welcome to sports, dude. I don't know what to tell you. Of course it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, we've all, you know, in the real world, let's just be clear. In the real world, we have put up with stuff because of the investment that we've put into it, right? That it's life, but again, you understand there's probably only 20 to 25 teams that have a quarterback they think they have a quarterback they can win with. That means there's 7 to 10 teams, right, that don't have a quarterback that are searching. And so, like, to think that, oh, we can just find another guy. We can find a Brock Purdy. We can find – oh, yeah, they found Brock Purdy, but guess what they lost? A third pick – it was second pick in the draft?
Trey Lance.
Mm-hmm. So they just – found this guy. They didn't want Brock Purdy to have to play because they invested a second pick in the draft. You know how bad Trey Lance had to be for them to just say, no, we'll take the zero. We'll take the L on a second pick in the draft.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah. So, okay, I get that. But they, like, most of these quarterbacks that are found late in the round, the stars align with their situation, and they end up playing in some of the best circumstances in football. You very rarely have a situation where a guy who comes in, look, you can go to Tom Brady, you can go to Brock Purdy, you can go to Kurt Warner, you can go to Tony Romo. All those guys, you know what they ended up playing for? Really good teams. Really good teams at the time. So their landing spot, regardless of where they were drafted, was a lot better position than you're saying, let's just throw Quinn Ewers in and see what he has. It's not going to go as well as you think. Not because of Quinn Ewers, but because of this team, where they are right now. They're not in a position to accept the guy, to bring a guy in and have him play quarterback that can just learn on
like
the
run. It's not like he's got an empty cupboard, though, if they were to do that. I'm not saying that they should do it right now, but it's like he does have good weapons that he could go to. It's not like he's got nothing. He's got a good running game.
Why do people think I'm defending Tua?
People are crazy right now, dude. Headlines brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. Doral VW just broke the rules of gravity. Prices are falling so fast, we're checking for a crater. Volkswagen's price like they've lost their mind. Buckle up. No one sells for less. No one. Marlins got hammered by the Phillies yesterday, 11-1. Not dead yet.
But a very slight pulse.
We know that, but we'd rather see what Quinn Ewers can do. We already know what Tua can. Like, I can't understand how a fan base could complain year after year after year about how long it's been since you won a playoff game.
Yep.
And be willing to make a move like that.
There's a point. I definitely think
there's a point. There is a point. But I'm saying, do you understand what like you're to make
you're
a
grasping
move,
at straws. Like you're, right. you're it is there's a
right.
point.
But I don't... then next year when the season starts, you're going to include this year if they go that route and say another year we didn't make the playoffs.
Well, why shouldn't that count?
No, because then why are you willing to make a move like that if you want to win?
Well, if Tua keeps stinking.
Okay,
it's not like
I get it.
That's the thing.
At this point, this is not a matter of defending Tua. This is a matter of making a move.
Right.
That can make you much worse. That's
yeah. Again, though, that's the thing. Like the Giants just had a game where Russell Wilson threw for what nearly 500 yards, and they still pulled him. Like I'm saying, like Tua has the games where he turns the ball over every single game.
Yeah, but Quinn Ewers isn't a first round pick.
I understand he's not. I understand he's not.
All right, I got you.
But you know, there is going to come. There has to be a point, especially if it's. I mean, you don't think that the conversation will happen if they do play? Let's say the defense bounces back a little bit against the Jets and Tua still is yakking the ball up.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think that conversation is going to even be perused a little bit?
No.
I don't know.
No, it's not. And again, it's not a defense of Tua. It's that think of what you're suggesting or people are suggesting, that we bench Tua and put in a, was it a fifth?
Seventh rounder.
Seventh rounder, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rookie.
What about Zach Wilson? What?
Let me call him. He's in Boca. He's in Boca. Like, I forgot he was on the team. Like, you, so, even if you took.
Wait, what are you even, saying? You're call him in Boca? Why? Yeah. He's with the old ladies?
He's that blue martini.
Blue martini. Here. Here's what I could say. If you had come to me with Zach Wilson, I would maybe be a little more okay with that because he does have some of the things that Tua doesn't, including arm strength or whatever. But the reason why Zach Wilson is here is because of his decision making with the football. So, like,
but the decision, like, that's the thing is, like, Tua's
right again.
He's not taking care of the football
again. All I'm saying is that, like, let's not be in the group that makes decisions just to make decisions.
Well, I think it's a fascinating thing to see because, like, I agree with you. I'm not ready to bench him yet. I'm not ready to bench Tua, but I am curious to see what is that.
What's the breaking point?
I got
you.
No, I know. Okay, the fans are already there. They don't have to have the repercussions of, hey, we paid this guy this. Hey, I have a relationship with this guy. Hey, this guy's part of the reason I have the job. Hey, this guy's part of the reason I got my extension. Talking about Mike McDaniel and Tua.
Right.
Like, you know, and I'm sure, yes, it's easy to type into a keyboard or call in and say, no excuses. It's like, yeah, but let's be real about it. And I'm curious to see what that breaking point is for Mike McDaniel because I don't necessarily think it's as far as you think it is,
right?
Because I do think that they're going to get to a point where it's like, hey, if this guy doesn't look
right
like the guy that we paid, then when do we try something to see if it can spark the offense
after next year?
So you think he gets the whole season?
Yeah.
So you're going to give him 2 years? Okay.
Well, I'm just and here's what. The financial part of all of this, right? And I didn't talk about it before. I wasn't even including it.
Right.
Like most other people were talking about how much he makes or whatever. I wasn't even including that, okay? But if you have a quarterback making $50 million, right? How much you think it's going to cost you to get another quarterback?
They'd probably have to draft one. I mean, like that's usually what's happening now when these teams have to eat it. Like they go get a rookie. Denver went and got a rookie,
and then they just ate
Atlanta. They got a rookie.
I don't think they'll eat the contract.
But that's how they would do it.
And my question to you is this: how much of what is happening to this team is because of the construction of the team? Right. So. When you look at offensive line, when you look at defensive line, when you look at some of the positions that are now super, super young and require more guys to develop, right? How much of that plays a role in the overall success or lack thereof of the whole team?
I think that so you're saying like just the idea how much of the rest of the team would be ready to win,
right?
I definitely on the defense they basically need to they're basically starting from scratch, right? Because it's like you know you have a bunch
you
of
you got young, four or five young players over there you don't say, have any well, corners.
Let's look at the team. Like let's say this season goes awry. All right, they're going to trade Bradley Chubb. All right, they're going to trade Tyreek Hill.
Yep.
You have Minka here. I don't, you know, I guess he's going to be, he's still young. He's 28. So like, you don't have to rush to get rid of him, even though he hasn't looked like any first prize either.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you would need to bring all of that off. You probably need to, it would be nice if you could get a right side of the offensive line that is, upright.
Yeah. But here's what I would say there, just in a team sport, there's a lot of other players for some teams that have to play well for others to play well. And I would say that once Tua started getting banged up and hurt, then I think more of an emphasis should have gone into building your offensive line and then, like, going from there. But the way you've patchworked and put that thing together, right, doesn't make it more difficult to evaluate all of your other issues.
Yeah and no. Like, I mean, like, well, here's the thing is they needed Jonas Avaya to basically walk into the league being great.
Which he was a second rounder. Which they traded up so for. he can play, but to put him in as a rookie and expect him to be a finished product mm-hmm. is unfair to him.
Yeah, and that's the other, like, you and that's the same thing with Kenny G, right? Like, it's you needed these guys to we knew the Dolphins needed to fortify the trenches, but, you know, to give these guys three games and be like, save us.
Right. You know? Like, look, wait, and I give you a comparison. We were talking about Patrick Paul last year, why he ain't playing, why he ain't doing, you know, development. He needs development. He had offseason, he comes back. He's a different player than he was when he played his yep. rookie year. So we've seen.
Even Chop. Like, look at the Chop. Chop took half a year.
It took half a year. So, like, the problem is you have a bunch of different players on your team in different spots mm-hmm. of your career. When they built Detroit, everybody seemed to be on the same page, same age,
yes.
same time frame, mm-hmm. right? When you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, everybody seems to be on the same time frame, right? As far as how many years this guy, how long the offensive line is going to be together, how long the defense is going to be together.
Yeah, the Dolphins situation is not conducive to development right now.
Right.
It's too much. There's too much heat.
Too many old guys, too many young guys, too many guys want to win now, too many guys need development.
Yeah, and
right?
too much, the patience is too thin right now.
Right. So
there's just, like, if this would have happened, see, the Dolphins, and that's the thing with Mike McDaniel, right? Like, he comes in this situation that most first-year coaches don't. He came in with a team that had a winning record and then made splashy trades.
Right.
So you kind of you did team building on steroids. Typically, a coach comes in a Ben Johnson situation.
Right.
They come in where, you know, you got some pieces, but we're going to revamp a little bit. But you're probably going to have some stinkers, and that'll be all right. That's what it is. You're going to climb up. The Dolphins came in; they were expected to go blow for blow with the Bills, and they didn't.
They didn't build their team like the Bills did.
No, they didn't. But
right.
it's now you're at the point where, okay, this flamed out. Really, their window was 2 years ago when they lost on Monday Night Football and it all went to hell. That was their window. Because
this team is the seventh youngest team. There isn't a lot of. Yes, there is. What are you talking about, old guys? Go look at your whole defense.
No, the only old guys on defense are Minka and Zach.
And Zach and Chubb.
Chubb's old, yeah.
Judon.
But they invest a lot in Judon.
But again, like, the thing that sucks about this situation, and it is what it is, right, is that you have a bunch of guys who probably need more development that are getting it on the fly, and this team is not in a place to allow that development because they need to perform
yeah.
now. And it's not fair to them. It's not fair to Jonah. Like, if he was a plug-and-play guy, he would have went in the first round to somebody else. He needed development.
It's close to first round. The 37's pretty close to a first
yeah,
rounder.
Yeah, close.
It's pretty close.
But close, because you know why somebody took him in the fourth in the first round? To get that extra year. So when he fell to the second round, right, there's going to be a little bit of development there. Is going to be required. To see him and to say after his first two games, he had the worst grade of anybody in the league. Is that being fair to him when you know he needs development? He's not getting the same development as Patrick Paul did. Patrick Paul didn't even play, and he was a first rounder. Well, he was a second rounder.
He was a second rounder.
Second rounder. Okay.
But
so
I get your point. Yeah. I don't disagree with you. It's just they're not in a position that they need to be in, truly.
Right.
And the problem is, that's what happens when you pay a quarterback. It's like, once you pay the quarterback, you're expecting, hey, we're giving him all this money in a salary cap sport. He's going to have to cover up some stuff. And there are guys that can, and Tua's not, because now we're talking about stuff that still needs to be covered up for Tua, and I think that's where everybody's frustration is.
But are we talking about things that should have been fixed by now?
Yeah.
The offensive line.
The idea that we're still talking about the offensive line is it's literally been a conversation for the whole 25 years that they haven't won a playoff game.
Right.
But specifically, yes, under this regime.
And so what I would ask you is this, and this is like probably where I am with all this, and I ask you this all the time. Mm-hmm. Okay, if Tua's not the guy, I will accept that. But are you going to bring somebody in that's better than him?
Right now?
Right, yeah.
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. I don't think Zach Wilson's better than him, and I don't think Quinn Ewers is better than him.
So
but
that's where you are. So until this year is over, that's where you are right now. And then at the end of next year, we can have this conversation again. But that's the way it needs to be done. Like, to get frustrated and say, oh, we can do it, you know, we can find somebody else. No, you can't. There's a bunch of teams need a quarterback.
Trevor Jameis? I'm just messing with you.
We're going to have a bullpen game? That's the way I look at Jameis and I look at Joe Flacco. It's like baseball saying we're going to have a bullpen game. Because they're going to come in and give you three of the best innings of your life. And then?
Could have used them last night.
No, you couldn't have.
For the fish.
Because how do you know you're going to get the one that was going to give the three scoreless innings and one to go give up the eight home runs? Ooh. That's what you're playing when you play with Joe Flacco and Jameis. 450 or 150 and four picks?
Take a break. Back after this.
A football Friday. Feels like a football Friday now. Good choice of music, Jimmy. Omar Kelly is going to join us here on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Before we talk football, I always remind you the best place to get geared up is Caneswear in Davie or online at caneswear.com. Omar Kelly, he is a columnist for the Miami Herald. He covers the Miami Dolphins. We always enjoy talking to him. You can hear him on Game Day Uncensored as well with Solana and Tobin. And I'm going to start here, Omar, because, and we had just talked about it in the last segment, some people thought Tua's answer yesterday regarding criticism from fans and writers and Cam Newton specifically was a little odd. Do you have any problems with the way Tua handled himself at the podium yesterday?
For those who took offense to him questioning Cam Newton, you have to pay attention to the context of the question that was asked, because you got to know Tua, and he lives in an insulated world where he does not watch ESPN. He does not pay attention to the media, does not have social media. Only time he hears about things that's going on in terms of the talk about him is from his teammates in the locker room and from Ann Nolan, who is their media relations person. He said this a number of times, and this is true. You can say anything to Tua, and he'd be like, I have no idea. You could say that Charlie Kirk got killed, and he wouldn't have any idea. So the question was initially started about, do you have a problem with people bringing up your salary every time they criticize you, which who wouldn't, number one. And then it flipped to, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, Cam Newton's the last guy that just did it, bringing up your salary. And then his response is about, you know, everybody thinks it's so easy to play quarterback. It's not. And this is the second time he's done it. It's probably the second time that's caught him a lot of flack. But he stands on that, where it's like, people think this is easy. It's not easy. But also pay attention to, in the entire interview, Tua probably spent 8 minutes of 12-minute interview criticizing himself, pointing out where he can get better, acknowledging that he's lost some of his athleticism because of his surgical procedures, talking about how he does need to take more shots downfield, talking about, this offensive struggles, this team struggles is on me. Nobody wants to hear that because it's not sensational. Let's be real about it.
Yeah, but he seems like he's getting a little more spicy than he used to be. Is it frustration? Because it seems like he's not saying everything he wants to say.
No, Tua's generally very candid and very honest. I think what's happening, and me and my media peers, we have discussed this at depth. These Dolphins players, this team, they're very sensitive. And obviously, when you're 0-3, and you were part of 2007, and you know, remember when I used to come in the locker room? Why y'all stink, Channing? When y'all gonna get a win?
Ain't nobody trying to hear that.
Yeah. Y'all was not looking for me. Like, here you come again. With the same, you know, and so people are getting on edge right now. I mean, if you, I really encourage everybody to watch the Anthony Weaver press conference today when they finally put it up. I mean, he was nearly in tears talking about his defense and playing with violence. This is a violent game and communication. He was talking about how my demeanor, I'm calm, but it's getting to the point now where I'm like losing my composure and I have to stay composed. It was, I mean, nearly in tears talking about a defense, Channing. Yeah. So it was that emotional. And you know, we say if there was a campaign speech given for interim coach roles, that was the campaign speech, because who doesn't know that this Dolphins team, they need to stop being, a little bit
timid is the word.
Okay, timid is, yes. They need to stop being a little bit timid and play with some aggression, some physicality, be aggressive. And maybe if they did that, they would sort of start to turn the tide a little bit.
I'll go back to Tua for a second, Omar, because you've defended Tua over the past couple of weeks and defended the process that Tua has seen from Tua. And, you know, he said it straight up. I listened to the entire press conference where he says he's not playing up to the standard he thinks he needs to play. And I wonder, do you think it's as simple as just saying, hey, Tua has regressed as a quarterback for whatever reason, whether it's personnel, whether it's the fact that, you know, it's the hip injury or his ankle injuries in general? Or do you just think he's regressed in the past couple games and in the short term, but there's still a possibility for him to get back to, I use 2023 Tua because that's when he was at his best. I wonder, like, has Tua regressed, period, blanket statement, or Tua has not played well this season, he can still get back to being that quarterback?
The offense in general has regressed from 2003. We're talking about an offense that was number one in the NFL. It was the hottest thing since smoking, you know, Q-nose that y'all were talking about, like little hot sandwich, which, by the way, I've never eaten that ever in my life.
Quiznos?
I've never
eaten Quiznos.
I'm not a sandwich guy, so yeah, no, never eaten Quiznos.
Wow.
But I'm not a Subway guy or La Spada's guy. I don't eat sandwiches.
You don't eat sandwiches? What kind of statement is that?
Sandwiches.
What kind of statement is that? Everybody eats sandwiches.
I don't eat sandwiches. I do not make that. That's credit. Channing, do you eat sandwiches?
I do eat sandwiches, though.
Everyone eats sandwiches. What do you mean you don't eat sandwiches?
You leave me on the
island. What about a burger? You eat a burger? Yeah, that's a sandwich.
Come on. A burger's not a sandwich. A burger's a burger.
A hamburger sandwich.
All right, okay. The offense has regressed.
Now you've got me engaged.
Well, we were talking about football. You couldn't care less. But I don't eat sandwiches.
I was dozing off.
I don't like mayo, mustard. I don't like none of that stuff. So
wow, sandwich.
Yeah. All right, let's get back to chemistry with Tyreek is not the same. I don't sit up here and tell people what they want to hear. It's not the same. They do not throw the deep ball anymore. Like, how many times, like, you might see five deep balls from Tua all of 2025. Like, that's just the reality of it. He did not throw it last year. He's trying to throw it this year. Offensive line, the right side, his blind side. Come on, man. And people don't realize a quarterback has to feel comfortable in the pocket. If he doesn't feel comfortable in the pocket, and Tua admitted, he said, I'm not getting to my last read because he didn't say this part, but I don't feel comfortable like I could get to my last read. Mm-hmm. I got to get that ball out. You got to get that ball out because you don't have no protection over there. They're replacing the right guard, which, you know, and when I say we used to criticize Liam Eikenberg, you wish Liam Eikenberg was on that line right now. Then you got no tight end. Three games, they've had four passes to a tight end for 25 yards. Now, okay, you're going to get Darren Waller back. So it's a lot of factors that have contributed to why they don't look the same. But also, they are a better running team than they are a passing team. Nobody really is talking about that. Nobody pays attention to that. For this offensive line, they can run block. They suck at pass blocking, but they can run block. And the situations that they've been put in, it just says, okay, you got to stray away from the run. You got to abandon it in the second half or abandon it after the first quarter, or, you know, or you're playing, trying to play catch up. And it's just been a recipe for disaster, which is why they haven't really shown their best strengths yet.
Peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
I hate peanut butter and jelly. No.
What?
Yep. No.
Real cheese.
Nope. Don't like cheese. See
what?
That's you don't universally like known. I don't like cheese. Yeah.
You don't like cheese.
I don't like cheese. No. No cheeseburger. I'll eat cheese on pizza. That's it. And pizza and mozzarella sticks. That's it.
Oh my god.
Like your veggie
hell is going on here.
Like veggie and meat? Just meat and veggies? Like
no, I mean if I'm forced to eat a sandwich, it's just gonna be meat. Like I don't mind hot subs. Like I used to like like barbecue beef sandwiches and stuff like that. It's gotta be hot. It can't be cold. I can't do it cold. No.
Oh. No. Cold sandwich.
Oh, no cold sandwich.
Pleasure.
Wow.
What you well hold on. You wrote something in the Herald that I was reading. It's 10 issues the Dolphins need to fix fast.
Yeah.
But then I'm reading it and it's this really long, extensive list of things they need to fix, and it almost seems unfixable in the short term. So I wonder, you know, you wrote it, I read it, I understand it, but man, that's a lot of stuff that they need to fix.
Well, they're an 0-3 team. And if they go to 0-4, I mean, an 0-3 in the division, you're in panic mode. You're really at like, we got to find that panic button, because everything we're talking about, and this is the weird thing. I could see the product, and I know they're 0-3. Right now, I think we're learning Indianapolis is a little bit better than we thought they were when we started the season. I think they're this year's Minnesota, because the way they put that smackdown, it was a smackdown. And I think that was a little bit humbling for the Dolphins, and they're like, damn, do we stink? But now you realize that Indianapolis is just good. I think you botched it against New England. Then Buffalo, you came up short. I really don't think this team is as bad as they played so far this season. Now, are they playing to their strengths? They absolutely aren't, because Tua's strength is taking care of the ball. What has he done in the first three games? He's turned the ball over. That's not his game. He's eventually going to go back to the mean. Tyreek, I don't know. Come on. We're on two seasons of contained Tyreek. This is the most dangerous man in football. Like, I would hope at some point they're going to figure it out. And if they don't figure it out, then move the man and let somebody else figure it out. But this team is not and the defense, goodness gracious, they were a top five unit last year. Top five unit. Channing, you were a top five unit what, one or two times?
Yeah.
Like, you know how hard that is to be a top five unit?
Yep.
And you come back and you're the 32nd best defense in the NFL? Like, and a lot of new pieces, a lot of different parts. I think the loss of Calais Campbell was huge, because he was that guy, like for you, Channing, where Zach would be like, watch out for this. This is coming. Yeah. And before the snap. And that would help everybody. Like Calais would like pinpoint 12 plays a game. And, you know, and it allows you to play a lot better. There ain't nobody out there doing that.
What? But to that point about the defense, too, I go back to what Anthony Weaver said. He's like, we have to be more violent. Violent people are violent. Like, passive people aren't violent. You know what I'm saying? Like, do they have violent people to get violent?
Hold on, wait a minute. But a football player, especially a defender, maybe a cornerback isn't violent. But who doesn't like to hit somebody on defense?
I tell you, I play with all pros. Sam Madison was not violent.
Okay.
Jason Taylor wasn't violent.
Okay.
Zach was extremely violent. Peasy was violent. Truck was violent. Like, though, so like,
okay.
Do they all have right. violent people to take on violence?
No.
That's an issue.
And that's how they build the team. And I'm not saying they scared of dogs. This isn't like Joe Philbin where they ran off all the dogs on the team. If you were a dog, you had to go, because Joe Philbin could not handle you. Mm-hmm. They didn't run off the dogs, but you know how dogs sometimes get off the leash and you got to pull it back? Well, if they started to pull the leash, they wasn't able to pull it back, and the dog would just go run wild in the neighborhood. And then, okay, the dog is a problem. I got to get rid of the dog. That's not how you operate in an NFL. And I don't think a team exists, can exist and be successful without dogs. And realistically, and then people going to get in their feelings because everybody's in their feelings in that locker room. This team doesn't have dogs. And that's just the reality of it. And
they're athletic. They have a lot of athletic people on the team.
But Andy Weaver should know that, by the way, before you give a speech saying we need to be violent. If he doesn't know his personnel, to your point, Crowder, that's on him.
Yeah. I mean, but you could encourage it. I mean, here's the thing about the Bills game. And even before he said that, I didn't know how much dysfunction they were having on the sidelines and in the game from a communication standpoint, watching the game. And I heard about it after the game. I heard about it from Anthony Weaver today. Like, there was nothing but chaos there. And people were like, we're not getting the calls. And I'd love to hear, Channing, your perspective on that as a guy who's been the Green Dot player. How does somebody on the field not get the calls? But that's another issue. But they are just not gelling and meshing and communicating and working well together. And there's so many things you could blame on that. But it's at a point where you either got a bow up or get knocked out. And that's where we are with this team. But I will say this. The second half of the Denver game, I saw a different Dolphins team. I saw a violent Dolphins team. And I was just like, wait a minute. And I even tweeted this. I was like, wait a minute. They're like playing with a whole lot more aggression and physicality than I've seen from them in a while. And so that clearly that message resonated to Weaver.
But whose fault is it when I read that the Dolphins are first in the NFL, Omar, in blitz rate, but last in literally 32nd in pressure rate defensively? Like, I'm trying to understand. They don't have dogs. But the front seven was supposed to be the best unit on this team. We were talking about them as one of the best units in the NFL. Not the best, but one of the best. And they were supposed to help the secondary from not be put under this relentless pressure. And clearly they're blitzing because the front seven hasn't been able to apply the proper pressure. And they're still not getting to the quarterback. Is that just a small sample size? Or is that A, the Dolphins simply just don't have dogs? Or B, Anthony Weaver's not calling the right defense for his personnel, which I think is a problem.
I think there's probably a little bit to that in terms of calling the right defense to his personnel, but he knows more about defense than I ever will. So I'm not going, that's not my lane. I think if they stopped the run better, they would be in better position to be aggressive or play schemes better or hunt the quarterback better on third downs. But Weaver was like, man, how many third and ones, third and twos, third and threes have we faced this season? That's a death sentence for a defense. And it's true. They really can't get anybody off the field on third downs. And you can't do that. And what's odd about it is they were number one in the NFL last year getting off the field on third downs. So you go, how do you go from being, that was literally, they couldn't create turnovers. They couldn't pressure the quarterback. But when it came to third downs and red zone, they were tight. And that's what made them a top five defense last year. And this year, they're horrible at it. And I don't think the same coach can coach two completely separate units and one's great at it and one's horrible at it. I don't think that's Weaver, but somebody got to be accountable for it. And it's not Mike, because Mike don't do nothing over there. Mike don't go over there. So you want to put all your problems on the offense, put them on Mike. But Weaver is responsible for that defense.
Omar, can I tell you about a sandwich called the Hockman Burger?
Yeah, I it's a burger, so it's a hot meat. I would be open to it.
So here's what's on the Hockman Burger. And by the way, it's available at Tucker Duke's Lunchbox through the month of September, so it's almost over. And $1 from every burger sold goes to Twan Russell's Russell Education Foundation. So not only do you get a good hot sandwich, you do some good with it as well. It's a half-pound burger. It's got Fritos, chili, sour cream, shredded cheddar, and raw onion.
Raw onion. Okay. I think the only thing I like on there is the meat and the raw onion.
No. Do you like the chili? Is that included in the meat?
No,
or
no, 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 no. no, no chili. I even told Solano when he was going to Cincinnati, don't do that chili, man. No, like
that chili's so good. That Skyline chili. Oh
no, it's not. No, it's good. Not.
You on a special diet or something? You don't eat nothing.
No, I'm just picky. I said this week I'm stop eating beef because. Man, that thing, I mean, you was vegan. What you talking about?
I had to sneak back into that chicken wings.
He was vegan like I have Fabio's hair.
Was nine months.
You weren't vegan for 9 years.
Yeah, he was vegan sneaking some chicken wings.
Oh, it don't count at the strip club now.
He was vegan in front of his wife for 9 months.
Yeah, there you go. That's the truth.
He was vegan behind closed doors for about 3 weeks.
Omar Kelly, read his work in the Miami Herald. Follow Omar on Twitter as well for all your Dolphins updates. Appreciate you. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too, guys.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On how you've played.
How I've played? I haven't played anywhere near the standard that I've played in years past, and knowing the standard that I can play to. And it starts with me, you know, with the offense getting our guys going, and then the defense being able to feed off of that as well, right? So, yeah, I wouldn't say I've been playing my best football yet. I think as I look back at Alabama and then as I was getting ready to come to the NFL, I think one of the biggest changes and differences that I felt would have been some of the surgeries that I've had, that I can kind of feel some of the residuals within my ankles. I was running a little different when I was at Alabama, and, you know, it's just not the same. And that, you know, I think that's normal given the surgeries and everything that comes with the sport, right?
All right. That was the, I think that's kind of, hey, man. I mean, I think people appreciate him saying it. At the end of the day, though, we get through all this, you just got to play better. I got to tell you, I've said this before. I mean, the Jets on Monday night is a great time for you to flip the page here. It really is. The Jets have got all kinds of problems. What we have, they have. Hell, they're talking about firing Aaron Glenn up there. There are people upset with him. He did a dance on the side after they scored. I guess they forgot that Baker Mayfield was going to march down. It wouldn't have mattered. And people upset with that. And the team looks like the same as it did before Aaron Glenn, and they made all the changes in their organization. The team plays, he's talking about missed tackles, and part of the team wants to play zone and the other wants to play man to man, and they're, and they've got injuries too, like everybody else. Nobody wants to hear about them and who's going to end up playing and who's not. But you just, I mean, at the end of the day, we can sit here and go through this and what he said and critique everything that he says. And I mean, he came clean. Some of the things he said in the past, you know, talking about watching other guys, you know, I'm going to be watching to see how many guys are coming in and watch extra tape on their day off. And I'm like, you worry about you. You need to worry about the tape. The quarterback needs to worry about the tape. Those other guys will do it. We had guys that love tape. There's been guys that have been legendary watching tape guys. Zach Thomas jumps to the front of the line, you know, as a guy that if one guy watched more tape than a quarterback, it was Zach Thomas. They had to kick him out of there. The janitor had to fight him one night to get him out of a room. So, I made that up, but it sounded good, didn't it? See that janitor going in, hey, you gone? I got to clean this room one night. Okay. Can you leave? But, yeah, this stuff. And then, you know, here's what you started now, though. So you go the Cam Newton thing, and he's doing his thing and all that stuff. And listen, a lot of guys don't like Cam Newton. Let's not make it like Cam Newton's the most popular guy to ever play that position. But you can't take it away from Cam Newton, who was the first overall pick. So he's been in that shoe, if not above it, as a highest first-round pick in a draft. And he went on to do something we haven't done since I played. Go to a Super Bowl. And he won an MVP. And he won that MVP now. Don't think that was like, well, it was close. There was nobody close. From touchdown passes and the way he ran the football. Now, the problem is the way he ran the football as a third running back and sometimes looked like a fullback inside the five-yard line. But, you know, he's a big dude, man. He was running guys over and put up monster numbers. Monster numbers. So, you know, you start that with him, and he's super popular now on social media. He's got a full-time gig with ESPN, with Stephen A. And those guys, and listen, Ryan Clark was right there with him. Ryan Clark has been going after Tua. Like, they're doing everything they can. They're giving him great weapons. They keep trying to work on the O-line. I don't know if it's working or not, like everybody hoped, or not yet. But nothing's going to be perfect. You can't just, you know, spend a lot of money on the offensive side of the ball. You spend a lot of money on three guys already. And you just got to play better. Instead of talking about this, but the money thing, folks, in today's world of sports, especially quarterbacks, we talk about what they make and what they're going to make. I hear them talking about the latest one is what Daniel Jones is going to make now. Saw that. Well, Daniel Jones getting ready for a big bump. Could be $30 million a year.
I mean, I never get mad at the guy because it's not like he forced them to give him the money, right? I mean, the Dolphins willingly gave him the money, so it's their problem.
Oh, no. They, hey,
it's
listen.
Their fault.
If you got a problem with it, don't be mad at Tua. He did what we would all do. Fault.
But today is going to be a response day. All these guys that been talking about them for the last few days, they got their soundbite, right? They got to, to respond, and now they get to have, you know, their Friday to fire back at him.
But what is there really to fire back at? I'm going to say this.
But you know they're going to do it.
No, but you're going to hear this out. So the guy said, I'm not playing well. And all the things we've been saying, if you play better, it'll pick the whole team up. I totally agree. Hey, man, I've been on a team that was – I saw the Killer Bees at the end. The end when they were AJ Dewey was getting surgeries on his two shoulders, his two knees. Bob Baumhauer needed surgeries. Bo had his shoulders redone. They were at that point. The defense wasn't very good. The defense that played against the 49ers in the Super Bowl was driven by one of the greatest offenses of all time. And Danny knew that we needed to outscore everybody, right? To, I think we scored 45 points in AFC championship game. I might be wrong. It's a long time ago. But it was like, hey, guys, here we go. We got to outscore everybody. We're going to get stops. They're going to get some stops. They will. But we need to be special. We need to get back into the track meet here. And it started. And it kind of lifted everything because a 7-point would be a 14-point lead. And then the other team had to change their offense and maybe not comfortable because we had their ass playing catch-up. And they knew they couldn't stop him. And it led us right into a Super Bowl against the 49ers where we lost out in the Bay Area in the last one that we played in. So all those things he said, he gets. I mean, it's not like he's got the mirror at home.
I'm with you. The whole press conference, if you take it as a whole, was he did a nice job. But you know they're not going to do that today. They're going to play that clip, and they're going to tee up Ryan Clark or Cam Newton, whoever the hell is on today, and they're going to say, this is what he said to respond to you guys. And then they're going to say the same thing about how this guy needs to be a little more self-aware when he's speaking to the media.
Yeah.
Guy speaks for 10 minutes a week. He doesn't do anything else. Yeah. I think that's kind of a problem, right? I think that he could have done a better job of kind of being a part of the community.
All right.
Right.
So, I'm just saying this. We're going in the weekend and college football is going to take over. And then Sunday's going to be the games. And then Monday night's going to be his night. And he just needs to play a lot better and close out the Jets. And I can't say it enough. If there's a team to get healthy on right now, it's the Jets.
Yeah, but physically, Joe, I don't know that he can get healthy.
No.
I know you're talking about a win gets the team feeling better.
He needs to still play. We're going to be watching everything he does.
You've been on to this for a little bit here with these throws that he's been making, these deep throws that just don't see.
Mike came out and said he still throws the ball well, which – Mike, I don't know what you're watching, and unless he's got time in that, you know.
You hit it on the head, though, man. I think you're on to something with this.
I'm not.
You're 2 for 2, by the way, on your big theories. You had the Aaron Rodgers thing with the no wife.
Thanks, Woody.
And this one. You are really, though, on to something because something is not right. And he came out yesterday, and a texter said, I don't appreciate Tua saying that stuff about his injuries now. Would have been nice if we heard stuff like that before his contract. When he said the market is the market, but that's not on him. That's the Dolphins. It's the Dolphins' job to decide who to pay, right?
At some point, there will be accountability for that stuff.
Yeah, and it's not going to happen. It's not going to fall on Tua. I can promise you that.
No, they're not going to go Tua. Why'd you take the friggin' money? Why would you do that?
Yeah, yeah. Did you hide those surgeries and all that?
Yeah.
No, they did them.
No,
they know what's going on.
Everybody in the league was watching when all those guys were working out, and who's the guy he did the side workout with, and the guy was going on TV. He's now a college coach. He was a high school coach. He played in the NFL. He played for the Baltimore Ravens. Trent Dilfer.
Oh, yeah.
Trent Dilfer worked him out. He picked me to work him out. And let me tell you something. He is going to be different level. Man, we got the workouts. We got to see him throwing it deep and throwing it and sliding around, and he's going to be back, and this is not a serious injury. And man, that was like yesterday. Hey, we got to go to break here. We've got a lot more stuff to get to. Xavien Howard, you started it, man. The old panic mode pressure. The panic mode pressure has not left after 3 games, and now we get set for the Jets. And it looks like, by the way, Justin Fields could be making a return. He was at practice. He still got to get cleared by the doctors, the neurologist, of course, for the concussion. Anyway, we'll have more on that coming up here in just a moment.
Dude, he needs to get on the board this weekend. He needs to get on the board this weekend or this Monday. Absolutely. Need it. Need it from him. Need this defense to show up. I saw like Jalen Fields was like, hey, you know, we don't want to press. No, press. Figure it out, dude. Whatever you're not doing, fix it. That's what we need. We need sacks. We need turnovers. You guys act like a real defense. And then when punting happens, mind your breaks. Just mind your breaks. I'm not saying don't have that, but just saying.
Who's next? Shop?
Probably. Rookie mistake?
No.
Or I wish there was mistake? A prop bet.
Well, here's the deal.
There was a prop bet on which starting defensive player is going to catch a penalty on special teams.
Chop wouldn't do that.
Jalen?
Because Chop played special teams.
Kenny G?
Kenny G could.
Okay.
Those inside guys, when they break free, they want to go block the punt, but they don't know how to block a punt. And it's usually only on, and like I said before, everybody's wondering why these guys were playing special teams.
Yeah.
It's called safe punt. So in safe punt, your regular defense is in there because usually it's around midfield and you want to be have somebody out there to defend the fake.
It was unsafe.
So that's why you had your starting defense out there. It happens all the time. If you pay attention.
I don't think it happens all the time.
No,
happens,
no, no.
That happens hold to on, a team.
You don't know what part of it I'm talking about. Safe punt. Whenever a team is around midfield, if you look on the field, the regular defense for any team is going to be out there. It's not exclusive to the Dolphins.
Yeah, but does it happen where they mess it up twice?
No, usually they don't rush.
Schmeathan
they
says,
just stop checking for the fake.
On punt team, I better see Sealer sitting crisscross applesauce.
Yeah, we got to say that, huh?
Sit this one out, Zach, huh?
Sit this one out.
You just sit over there. We just want this punt to get off.
I got you.
Figure that out.
Need I play them. Punt team.
What's the deal with Fields? Vlad, is he going to be back for this week or is it Tyrod Taylor?
I don't know.
Is there any update on that?
He's still under the protocol, the NFL's concussion protocol.
I didn't even see what happened, how he got concussed. Did he get snapped back on the thing or did he get lit up?
He got hit and his head hit the
back of the turf?
Back of the turf. But I felt like he was already playing with a concussion because he was getting banged up in that game.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
That Buffalo, man, they hurt people.
Man. Tyrod Taylor still doing his thing.
Still doing it, man.
Tyrod is good until he gets hit.
Yeah. I mean,
and once he gets hit, he's like, listen, I forgot. I'm a backup quarterback.
There's a bunch of teams right now are having what I call a bullpen game. That means they got starting quarterbacks that they're trying to get 6 or 7 innings out of, but they really should be coming out of the bullpen, right? I say it about the Browns. Joe Flacco going to give you 3 or 4 of the greatest weeks you've ever seen. Then he's not.
Russ is back in the backup.
Jameis.
Yeah, Jameis.
Russ went from 450 to benched.
He says he's not done.
Hmm?
He said he's not done.
Okay.
That's what he said.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What, in New York or just in?
Just in general.
Yeah, just in general.
But he said he's not going to demand a trade.
Well, no worry.
You know?
Cincinnati will be calling soon.
Maybe. Maybe. You think Kirk Cousins is sitting here being like, man, nobody wants me?
No, Kirk's about to play in Atlanta. I've been talking to people in Atlanta.
Oh, Penix has stunk.
Penix has stunk, and they're on Raheem's neck.
Yeah, but didn't he take a shot at Kirk Cousins the other day? Because he was like, this ain't the same as Kirk Cousins. Because it's like, oh, it's his young guy. They all draft him. Like, once you're out, you're out. You're not going to go back to Kirk Cousins.
I don't know. Not if Home Depot owns.
Where's Kirk Cousins? He's still in Atlanta?
Yeah. Jeez, where you been? We've been talking about this for the last 20 seconds.
Remember that? Yeah, we all thought he was probably going to get traded, but no, nobody took him. Nobody took him. They haven't. They just kept him. Wow. You know? Is he doing another season of quarterback? Because that's all he's known for now, is being a reality TV show star.
Making a lot of money.
A whole lot of money, yeah.
What did he give him, like? 2 years, 100 million or something like that?
Three years, 100 million. But guaranteed.
That guy, like you want to talk about, that guy's made more guaranteed money than anybody in the NFL. The history of the NFL.
Smart guy.
Yeah.
A lot of dough. Him and Darrell Revis, kings of it.
Well, also, he dealt with a lot of stupid owners and executives. They kept on franchising him. The more you franchise him, the more money he's going to make.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. But no, he's still hanging. Russ is still hanging. Wentz. All these guys.
But Wentz is a backup.
Well, they are now too.
Right.
They are now too. It's all a club. You know, they should have a group chat of.
But Carson Wentz was brought in as a backup.
I understand. But. Russell Wilson's like, you know, he probably knew once, like, he signed there. That whole QB room was weird as it was.
Wait, is Jameis Winston still on that team?
Yes.
Yes. Lever.
Yes.
Lever, have you not been listening to what we've been saying?
No.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Jameis is still there, dude.
So they skipped right over him.
Yes. The only thing he did this year was get them out of a practice because he hit the crossbar because of God.
Jameis. Oh, Yeah, it's,
and then he demanded everybody go to Bible study,
which they said they went back to practice.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I remember those choices as a kid. You can cut the grass or go to this Baptist church for 3 hours.
Shmita says, Tobin is a couple of stars away from wanting Russ over Tua. At least Russ can throw deep.
He can't throw deep.
Dude.
You're not going to miss Tyreek. I'm going to underthrow him.
Can I?
I'm just, Leroy.
I'm going to say this. Throwing the ball deep has more to do with the timing in which you throw it than the strength of your arm. Right? And you need to understand that. There's a lot of quarterbacks who can throw deep that don't have an arm as strong as Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and stuff like that. It's when you throw it. That's the problem. The problem is Tua should know his strengths and weaknesses and stop looking around and then decide to chuck it.
Well, that's what is it. It just doesn't look like the same guy. You know, it's just he doesn't look as confident
in
any abilities that he had.
Like, do that when they're losing? Or
I'm just doing it based on what you said this week. You said you don't think he looks like the same guy. Like,
he doesn't. When I watch him drop back and he does all this right here, like, it just seemed like when he played before, things look more fluid. He looks very jerk. Like, I don't know what he's trying to do.
He's not a cat burglar anymore.
Like, when he drops back and he does that, like, yeah, it looks crazy. You know, it's not as fluid.
What do you think, it's in his head now? Because it's like, you know, he used to eat in that middle of the field, and now everybody kind of sits there and they're deking him. And
well, no, they're putting people there.
No, I know they're putting people there, but he used to throw between people. He didn't care. Like, that was the thing. But he would go through tight windows.
The timing of it worked out. But what teams are doing now is they have one guy that just drops back in the middle and makes that window a little bit smaller to where you can't throw it there. And he hasn't been throwing the ball outside to keep them honest. Last week, he threw a couple of post routes. He threw a couple of out routes. He threw, you know, a couple of outside routes to where then the middle of the field became more available because they can't just sit everybody in between the hash marks.
But also, like, in that mix up, like, you may start questioning yourself too, right? Like, if you were in a place where you always would pull the trigger and now you're just second guessing yourself.
Of course.
So that's course. what it feels like.
That's human nature, right? So I just think that there's certain things that he says, but it doesn't reflect on how he's playing on the field. Like, he says, oh, I don't worry about that stuff, and I don't worry about the outside noise, and I don't worry about that. He seems a lot more hesitant throwing the football. And what happens is, when you don't have a hose as an arm, your hesitation makes you even more limited because you then can't just throw a cannon to where you need to get it and play catch up with the football. So it's kind of one of those things that you have to be definitive in what you're doing. You have to be confident in what you're doing and just do it. Because if you wait and pat the ball, now you've taken yourself out of the play. And that's what's been happening on a number of occasions. Then he tries to throw that ball down the field and you go, woof. You know, once a receiver gets 40 yards down the field, you only got two or three quarterbacks that can reach that guy running. Because by the time the ball gets there, it's 55, 60 yards. So that's while we're sitting here talking about Tua, there's a lot of guys that where he's throwing that ball, there's a lot of guys that can't throw that ball. And that's why it looks like it's hanging up there. So it's a timing thing. If you're going to throw that pass, it has to be thrown sooner. That's just like certain people say, oh, he has a great – Russell Wilson doesn't have a cannon for an arm.
He's got a pretty good arm.
Huh?
He's got a pretty good arm, though.
He's got a good arm. His timing, though. Like, those balls that are being caught are only 40, 45 yards, but it's when he throws them. So it looks like, whoo, look at that deep ball.
Well, the thing that was crazy about the last game is, like, you know, we know Josh Allen is a piss whistle. He did the same thing Tua did. It was all short passes to tight ends.
Right.
It's not like – it's not – now, we all know what he can do. You know, he can throw it wherever. Mm-hmm. But it's not like that's what their bread and butter was the entire game either.
Right.
And I think that's the thing is with – this Tua thing has just basically been, it feels like the only thing he's comfortable with right now is checking it down to Achane. That's it. Like he used to be feasting over the middle, finding those guys, keeping the chains moving. And then, yeah, they would uncork explosive plays from time to time. And it just all feels muddled up right now.
Right. And part of it, put it this way, part of it is the play designs not give him an opportunity to do that, right? So you notice how open things got when he started throwing, like he threw that out route to Tyreek, and he threw a couple of balls outside, right? And notice how things opened up inside. So you got to kind of do stuff like that. You can't just keep going to the well, which they were doing the first 2 weeks. Just, okay, we're going to just run our stuff. Hopefully it'll work. And you throw that pick to the parking cone in the middle of the field. Like, you can't, dude, they should not be able to figure out where you're going to throw the ball and just sit anybody there. That's bad play design. It is. Like, if I could take you and put you on the defense and tell you, Tobin, go when the ball snap, go stand here. He's going to throw it to you. And he throws it to you? Come on. That's not good. That's not good football. So, yeah.
It's been a rough watch. There's no doubt about it.
Say, hey, Leroy, Tua doesn't need your extra cushioning when we call out his flaws. Like, it's not.
Well, I mean, I just got to be a question here because you people in the chat, you're all very stupid right now. Who's made an excuse for Tua? We've just literally been talking about the game. Like, nobody here has said, Leroy, has this been the segment? Poor Tua. He has to play behind this line. Nobody said that the entire time. So, like, I need you guys to all get a grip. I know everybody's pissed off.
We don't need your extra cushion. There is no cushion.
I know everybody's pissed off right now. Nobody has made an excuse for Tua. In fact, everybody, I think, has said, like, this is very clearly the worst that he's played football. But I do think it is worth saying, and I've said this, there's people who think that Tua has always sucked. Good for you guys. But there are people that thought that Tua had some goods, and I don't see as good a guy anymore. I see a guy who's not playing up to the highest level that he's played at, and we're trying to figure that out.
Right.
If you want to call that excuse making, fine. I mean, you sound stupid. You are a bad listener, but that's okay. You guys can just live in your little well. I'm not sitting here saying this is Mike McDaniel's fault, Tyreek Hill's fault. Quite the contrary. I think that a lot of those guys have done okay for him. Achane has looked good when they've gotten things going. He has been a big problem this year. There's no doubt about it. And the critiques come with what they are. He's the highest paid player. Are there other concerns on the team? Yeah, sure. But I think it's fascinating because I do think that we're seeing a guy who doesn't look as good. And I'm wondering what those reasons are. Is it because he's got happy feet? He doesn't have the time.
Because
this was a guy a year ago that was like, doesn't matter who's in front of me in the O-line. I get rid of it so fast.
Here's the problem, it doesn't seem like that. Just imagine you doing something that you have been absolutely sure about for a number of years, and it worked, and it worked, and it worked, and it worked, and you didn't have a problem. Like you said, didn't matter who was in front. He could make the throws. He knew where he was going with it. He could read it. Everything worked perfectly. Then somebody throws an adjustment at you, right? Now you look, you got happy feet because you can't throw it there, and it looks different for whatever reason. I've never seen Tua with like the way he's chopping his feet and looking like it doesn't look fluid. And that's the reality of it. For whatever reason. I don't know what's going on in that man's head.
Yeah.
But I do know this. Where he was throwing it 2 years ago or last year, they've taken that away.
For sure.
And until they come up with a solution for that, he's always going to look bad. I think part of it and part of the reason why he has looked the way he has is because for 3 years, he's always been so confident in where he's throwing it. And then the first 3 weeks of the season, it looks like there's doubt. Right? So that means when you have doubt, that means the balls that you end up throwing deep or late, they look like punts. The balls that you're throwing, you know, up the middle, You're nervous because they've been picked off at the worst times, and the defense is just fooling the crap out of you. And so what you have to do with Tua, you have to reset his thinking, right? Because when you run a normal offense, it's very easy to say, okay, let's just move our direction here. We're going to read this because this is what they're doing. But you run the same place. You just look in a different direction.
You think he needs to get on that darkness retreat with Aaron Rodgers? Reset the mind?
He don't need a darkness retreat. He actually needs more light so he can see more. Right? Darkness ain't going to help this dude. He been throwing the ball in darkness.
They got the neon jerseys this week, so maybe that'll help. I'll take my minus one.
Will you please tell the people what you asked me?
What did I ask you?
About the green. I'm like,
minus one.
Leroy had a heart monitor on. He's been monitoring his heart, and he was explaining that
at night it blinks. And so I kept yelling to Mel, hey, your phone's going off. She goes, hey, jackass, that's that thing on your chest. It's like bright, it's blinking. Wait and so,
time out.
What?
Technology again?
No, it's not technology.
It always gets them.
So
no, that's technology, bro.
Because it blinks. It was blinking.
That's technology.
Yeah, it's like a lighthouse.
It's there. It's like a lighthouse. But it's like letting you know the battery is
one.
So Tobin goes, was it neon green? I'm like, dude, it just like.
I just want to know, is it like traffic light green or was it neon? Like, I was just curious.
I don't know. It's just a light that's right, like right in my face.
I'm sorry.
And you thought it was a phone?
Wow, that's really annoying.
Huh?
Thought it was a phone?
Yeah, because you know when your phone's on vibrate.
His phone, he has light text notifications.
Right.
Like an insane person.
No, my, here.
The one that goes. Like
yeah, he does like a strobe light on this.
Oh my goodness, why, Leroy?
It's in the other room. I don't care.
Awful.
We'll take a break. Right.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam, so you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.